This week, I didn't have to prepare for a Wednesday night message. I was just kind of studying thoughts. You know, right off the bat, Monday morning, I got up, and really what I wanted to do, I was actually studying on thankfulness. That's what I was studying on. Because I thought, you know what I'll do this week? The first part of the week, I'm going to study on thankfulness a little bit, and I'm going to inject some things on Facebook. Because I love to put positive things on there. I love to put preachy things on there. I know a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people block me. So what? Go ahead, block me. Bye, bye, bye. I'm going to preach it anyway. I'm going to put it on there anyway. And I know some of them still read it because I can tell, because every now and then they'll slip up and like it or something. And I'm like, I didn't even know we was friends. You know, they ain't liked nothing for a year, and all of a sudden they slip up on something that they like. And I go, I didn't know that you were still there. But they are, and they listen. And I was just wanting to inject some biblical gospel thankfulness. And what happened? I got to studying all of God's word. I got sucked into this vortex of God's word. Anybody know what I mean? If you study God's word, every now and then, God's word becomes like a vortex, and you just like, it sucks you in. And that's what happened to me. Because you know me, I'm not holiday oriented when it comes to preaching. I never have been. I like to be God oriented, spirit oriented. And I never preach according to the calendar. I never preach according to holidays unless God says so. But this week I was just doing that in a positive way to try to inject some thankfulness into the Facebook world. Some of them could use some thankfulness in the Facebook world, because some of them is quite the complainers. Go ahead and say amen. I don't know if it was yours or not. I don't know. It may have been. If it was, I'm sorry. and I got sucked into it, and I ended up with all these thoughts on thankfulness. I ended up on a story, a gospel story that I actually love. I love this story. I preached on this story many years ago. I don't even know how long ago. Maggie's probably got it wrote down. She'll tell me here in a minute. But so many years ago, I preached on it, and I don't even know what I preached other than I remember loving the story. I just love this story. And I want to read it to you this morning. I want to share just a little bit to you out of this story, out of Luke 17. This is Jesus interacting with some people, and it's just the heart. I think just the heart of what it means to be thankful comes out of this, in a sense anyway. But Luke 17, if you want, we'll read about eight or so verses of this. And this is kind of a story right in the midst of while Jesus was working his way, going through, and you can even see it. It's even spelled out for us. And it says, and it came to pass, and he's talking about Jesus and, of course, his group, his disciples, as they went to Jerusalem. And of course, he always had this way of going places with intention. You know, he went roundabout. If he went roundabout, well, there was purpose in it. There was a need in it. Well, he was going to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria. One of the only people that would do that would be Jesus, Samaria, and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there, how many members of this story now, met him the 10 lepers. The 10 lepers, which stood afar off by law, they were unclean, and they had to stand. As a matter of fact, according to the Old Testament, they had to stand afar off and holler, unclean. You know, that's what they had to do. That was part of the law at that time. So they were standing afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master. Somebody's been studying. But they had Bible, but they'd been hearing, they'd been seeing. They done picked up on this Jesus is different. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves. Here we go, kind of the law again. Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, kind of like this brother was talking about in Sunday school this morning, as we took the communion meal last week, healing come to his body. Healing, because that's part of communion too. That's part of the message that I didn't have time for, but that's the message in the meal. It's healing. It's the meal that heals. But as we took healing, amen. As they went to go show themselves to the priest, as it came to pass, they were cleansed, were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, this is a definite, drastic change. You know, whether it was felt, he felt it, sensed it, seen it in his hands or on his body or even on the others, whatever it is, it's just a drastic change. He turned back. He saw that he was healed. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I'd like to know what that is. I really would. As a preacher, I'd like to know what that voice, what all was in that statement, what all was in that whoo or yip or holler or scream. Because if I knew, I could preach the fire out of it. Hey, if I knew what he said, I guarantee you we'd be saying it right now. Whatever it was, though, he glorified with a loud voice, and listen, and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. Listen, here it is, giving him thanks. I wish our my Greek sister was here, the one that helps me with the Greek, because this is a Greek word. It's a Greek word in this that means you are Christio. And I know that's terrible Greek language, but that's the best I can do. You are Christio. He fell down and he gave thanks. And it just brings out, points out, by the way, he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, well, wasn't they 10? Wasn't they 10? There was 10, right? But where are the 9? They are not found that return. They are not found that return to give glory to God, except or save this stranger, this Samaritan, this one Samaritan. And he said unto him, now listen, he's already had a great day. He's already been touched in such a way that he's healed. But because he returned to give thanks, you're a Christotio. He said, go thy way, because your faith has now made thee whole. Wholeness. Whole. Sozo. Another Greek word. Sozo. Which is the same word for salvation. You have been saved. Because, yes, you've been saved. I like the way you say that better than I do. Sozo. 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 Your faith has now saved thee. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word. I thank you for just what I feel in my heart and the excitement, Lord, that I feel even out of this word. Touch this message today. Let it get into our hearts, Lord. Let us be as the one, not the 9, mighty God. Fill this house full of the one. Let us be the one, if nothing else, at our homes and our families and on our workplace and in our neighborhoods and even if in this church if it has to be. Lord, let us be the one and never, ever let us be the 9, mighty God. But let us always, always be mindful of what you've done and who you are. And Lord, may it flow out of our heart for all that you've did. We love you today. Bless your word. Anoint it. Touch hearts and lives. Work and minister through it, Lord. Even as the word is preached this morning, Lord, let hearts be touched. Let it minister, Lord, in a great, powerful way. Let faith rise up. Let people be strengthened in their faith, dear God. And let people grab hope to the gladness, even that this one had. We'll love you, we'll praise you, we'll honor you. All the glory is yours, always will be, and we're thankful for it. In the name of Christ, our Savior, our coming King, it's in his wonderful name. And all the church agrees this morning, say, amen. Come on, let's thank him. Let's bless his name. Let's glorify his name with a loud voice. Lord, I do. I thank you this morning. I honor you. Yes. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the thankfulness that makes a difference. I don't know where you're at, Caleb, but write that down. The thankfulness that makes a difference. Thankfulness that makes a difference. And I believe that this morning. As I was reading this story again, for after many times, and reflecting, and probably because of some other things that I had read even before reading this story again this week, I realized something. It takes faith to be thankful. Amen. It does. It takes. You're sitting there this morning, and you know, if you don't really dwell on that, you might think that it's just natural to sometimes to be thankful, but it's not. That's not a natural thing. Thankfulness or gratitude out of the heart is not a natural thing. It's not. You know, we can relate that to our kids or the younger kids or sometimes even the older adults, that you can do something good for them and it's not natural for them. Sometimes they're not naturally inclined to speak thankfulness to you. I know Bug is thankful and Gray Bear is thankful, but sometimes I give him stuff or give whatever and they just bust on. Not aware of what it took or not aware of what went into the preparation or even the meal we had on Thursday, you know. It's not that. It takes faith. That's what Jesus, we'll see that as we get towards the end of this story, but it takes faith. The natural man just is not thankful. Naturally. But it takes faith. I used to think that ungratefulness or this entitlement or culture, this entitlement age, or this I deserve it mentality that's kind of in our culture now. I used to think that was just our culture now. You know, I don't know how many, I've even said that probably. I've probably said stuff like that. This entitlement culture that we live in, where everybody thinks you owe them something or whatever. You know, I've said that. I've heard other people say stuff like that. But here's what I realized. Jesus taught me a lesson. Jesus in his story tells me that it's not just culture. It's the man. It's a man thing. It's a human thing. To be ungrateful, it's not just culture. It's a man problem. It's a human problem. It's a story about a man thing and the natural thing. But in this story, here's what I realize. And this is why I want to preach this morning. Is that I realize that being thankful makes a difference. It makes a really a big difference. Being thankful. Just being true out of your heart, thankful. Amen. And like I said, you got to apply faith to this or you're not going to get it. You can't just sit there, and I've even heard this, and I know a lot of people have used this. I've heard this preached. I've heard this slogan. I think my sister said this morning. There's this attitude of gratitude, and that's good. That's good. But I want to tell you something. I think it even goes deeper than a mindset or deeper than a thinking. It takes an action. It takes action. Because there's a lot of times I think thankful thoughts, but I never get around to telling you or reacting or going forward with it. Amen. It's deeper. It's yet deeper than that. So I want to just kind of tear into this story. I just want to just kind of give you some thoughts that kind of pour out of this about the difference, you know. Of course, Scripture is full of teachings about how gratefulness or thankfulness or gratitude makes a difference in our lives. And I won't have time to preach them all. There is a couple of things that I would like to bring out this morning, just to get where we're going here in a minute. But there was this one particular set of scriptures that really stuck out to me. And one of the differences that gratitude or thankfulness or us Christio makes in our life, it keeps us from getting sucked into the cesspool drain of ungodliness. If you're thankful, you won't get sucked into all that's ungodly. And I can prove it to you. I want to read you a set of scriptures out of Romans 1 and verse 21 starting, and we're just going to read a couple of scriptures and then I'm going to preach to you towards the end. But listen to what it says. Because that when they knew God, I was thinking about that. These other nine, and I'm not going to harp on the other nine, but these other nine, they knew God too. They knew God had moved. They knew God just the same as the one. They knew God, but they glorified him, not God. And here's the key. How is he glorified? How did he lift up it? Through thankfulness. They didn't glorify him as God, neither were thankful. That's what the nine did. The nine were not thankful. And I'm not saying there's anything. I don't know what happened to the nine. We don't hear any more about the nine. We don't hear anything more about the one other than he left saved. He left better shape. He left whole. He was no longer fragmented or in pieces or partial who he was supposed to be. Oh, no. He left whole. So he left in a whole lot better shape. But listen, they were not thankful but became what? Vain in their imaginations. Even their foolish heart darkened. Professing themselves then to be wise became fools. And here we're going to see the cesspool getting sucked in. When we're not thankful, we get sucked in because our thinking gets darkened and we get vain, and it changes the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like corruptible man and the birds and the fourfold beasts and the creeping things. We begin, go ahead, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts, wanting to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the, always chasing created things, always chasing created things, not even having time to stop and say thanks to the Creator, who is the blessed, by the way, forever, amen. And then we begin to see the sus. For this cause, then God gave them up to their vile affections, their unthankfulness. Even did women change their natural use into which is against a nature, which is that against nature. And likewise, also men, leaving their natural use of women, burned in their own lust, one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves that recompense of error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over then to the reprobate mind to do those things which are not even convenient or easy, being filled with unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy. This is the cesspool, like I said, when there's not the thankful heart, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, and finally, who knowing the judgment of God and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the drain. When we're not thankful, knowing what God has did, knowing how he moves, knowing how he touches our lives, knowing what he does, that's just the story of it. When we know that what he is and how he has touched our lives and we're unthankful, it's the cesspool. It leads to getting sucked in to more ungodly. I just want to tell you something. There is strength in being thankful. If you didn't hear anything else out of that long list out of Romans 1 and 21 and the following, there is strength. Out of a thankful heart, there is a strong spiritual man or woman. When a child of God is thankful, he is strong above these things. Because he's thankful. There's a strength. There's a strength that fills the man and woman of God or the believer. Because he's thankful. I can prove it. I got Bible for it too. You know, I thought about there's several stories that you could have brought out. But I did think about this. Think about what are some of the, or one of the big weaknesses in natural man's life that would cover everybody. I'm talking about women, men, whatever. It might be more so in some, and there might be some things that are stronger in others' lives. But this is across the board one thing that all men, I remember Brother Albert Cox, who was my mentor. I remember one time I went to him and I asked him about this subject, and he looked at me with them blue eyes and that gruff voice, and he said, "That's every man's battle, boy." Oh, I love the way he'd get to the point. And what it was, it was lust. Every man, every human. Think about it. That's the one thing that all humanity has struggled with. Sometimes is the big enemy. But you know what? Thankful heart, because we see it played out in this story, in this Romans 1. But a thankful heart is strength above lust. It is. When you're really thankful to what God's done in your life, Genesis, I'll show it to you in Joseph's life. It's real plain in Joseph's life. Genesis 39 and verse 8. This was Joseph. Remember Miss Hotifer? I thought her name was Potiphar's wife. Yeah, it was, but for the scripture today, it was Miss Hotifer. And she come, you know, always wanting Joe and wanting Joe to lie with her, flirting and batting her eyes. I'm going to tell you what, I've preached this before. Man, there ain't many Joseph in this world. Amen. But he refused. He refused. You want to know why? He said, unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed, listen, all things to my hand. He's saying, man, he's been so good to me. Can you see the thankfulness? Glory to God. He's been so good to me. What could I do? I can't do that, Miss Hotifer. Amen. He's committed. He give me. And then verse 9. There is none greater in the house than I. He's put me here. From a pit, I'm now here. I know this is talking about Joseph and Potiphar, but this is the same thing as this God in you, as he pulled us out of the pit and set us here. He set us here. And now, can I do this thing? It's gratitude. He's neither kept anything back from me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and even sin against God? It's all because he's grateful. I want to tell you something this morning. I didn't realize it until I got sucked into this vortex. But there's a lot of times in my life I've been spared issues, not just this one, but many others. Only the fact because I was grateful for what God has done for me. Just thankful. This thankful because God has worked this in my life. The little things even to the big things. Can I do that? When you've been tempted, when you've had Miss Hotifer wink at you. Cannot. Thankful. Y'all out there? Man, that's a heavy after Thanksgiving, preacher. But it's true. That's the difference. That's part of the difference that being thankful makes. It also gives you a right relationship. You can't have a right relationship, not only with God, but with others. See, I'd like to tell the young people in here today, especially those that are coming on up of age, you know, whatever age, and you're starting to look for that perspective, maybe that perspective, Mr. or Miss, in your life. And I always inject things when I can on that because I know it's an issue. I've told you before. I told you just last week, I believe. You know, don't never marry anybody that doesn't respect their own parents. You need to remember that. If you're trying to date somebody who talks bad about their parents, you just need to leave them. Say, see ya. Because if they don't respect them, they're not going to respect you. Ever. 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 And I got another one for you this morning. So evidently somebody in here is drawing nigh to feeling fuzzy about somebody. But I got another one for you. If whoever it is you're wanting to court or you're wanting to date or whatever, you can't have a right or healthy relationship with someone who's not thankful. If they're not thankful, it'll never be healthy. It'll never be healthy. I don't care how sharp-dressed he is or how she looks or all that. Oh, no. You'll never be right without the thankfulness. The relationship will never. And it's the same with God. It's only a healthy relationship when we're thankful. We're thankful. And it's then that we really understand grace. I understand that, man. It's because We're thankful because we understand grace. Yeah. That's why we're thankful, because what God has given us, what grace is. Same family of words. You know, I give you that Greek word a while ago, what thankfulness means. It means that euro, charistio. I wish she was here. when it comes, do you know what the word grace is? The word grace is charis. Same word that euro, charistio comes from, but we're grateful because of grace. We're grateful because of grace that God gives us. That's why we're grateful. Or another word that some of you Pentecostals are familiar with, charisma. It's a gift. It's the same, from the same family of being grateful. Or kara, which is a word that makes we're glad or joy because of all of it. And the little leper was all of those things. And that's why he had all these things. But the right relationship comes because we understand. We understand that it's grace. And it makes it healthy. That's why we're thankful. Because I know what God's did for me. He said, I'm not in a contract, man. I'm in a grace relationship. Yeah. People that run around angry all the time. Or jealous. Or somebody else is getting to do or got to do. Or is doing. Or bitter. Because of this or that. Or insecure. Or all that stuff. All that mess. You know what? That's not a healthy relationship with God. That's thinking that God owes you. He don't owe us nothing. And everything he gives us, we ought to be thankful. Grace. Because of what he's blessed us with. What he's done in our life. Amen. Last one, and I'm gonna get to where I want to preach. But I got to give you this. This is another blessing. You remember Moses and them was fixing to go into the... Well, actually, Moses wasn't because of the judgment and what all. But he was really giving them instruction because their life was about to change. Their life was about to go from wandering around in the wilderness, wandering around in the desert, to going into the promised land. And things were going to be different now. They was going to go from this wilderness mentality to this abundance. Oh, they had some fighting to do, yeah. They had some wars, but he was with them. He was fixing to tear down walls and part rivers, and it was going to be good. And they was about to have vineyards that they didn't plant and eat food that they didn't grow and live in houses that they didn't build. I mean, it was fixing to be really, really good for them. So Moses comes up, and he gives them this thought in Deuteronomy 8. This is what he gives them. He begins to tell them, for the Lord has brought you to this good land. In a land of brooks and water and fountains and depths and springs and of valleys and hills and of wheat and barley and vines and figs and pomegranates and the land of oil, olive oil and of honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness and thou shalt not lack anything in it. And sound like America, don't it? And whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Man, life's going to be good. But listen to what he says, when thou hast eaten and are full. Oh, I love this. I've never seen this. I know it's good. Hey, it's good. Don't try to change anything. Go, but when you sit down to have a meal, go on and bless the Lord. Break your bread. Thank the Lord. Bless it. Ask him to bless it. Keep you safe. You don't know who cooked it. You know, all that stuff. Ask the Lord to bless it. But this is something that I think we need to get a hold to. It's beyond. After you're full. Woo! After you're full, you're sitting there right back, plumb full of turkey, plumb full of rolls and deviled eggs. After you're plumb full, he said, after you've eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord. After you feel the blessing, the fullness thereof. Then you bless the Lord. How do you know God's been good to you? How do you know he's kept his hand on you? How do you know he's watched over you? How do you know he's provided? How do you feel it? Then you thank him. Make sure you thank him. Yeah, say grace beforehand or say grace whenever, but make sure you thank him after you're full. Why? 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 Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land. After you're full, why? Verse 11. Beware lest you forget. Lest you forget. Lest you forget the Lord God. And even keeping his commandments, the judgments, the statutes, which I command you this day. Verse 12, we got to finish this. Lest when thou hast eaten and you are full, and you've built godly houses and you've dwelt therein, and when the herds and flocks have multiplied, you're doing so good. Provision is happening. Man, prosperity, it's great. You've multiplied. Verse 14, and thy heart be lifted. Lest you think you've earned it. Lest you forget it's grace. Lest you forget that he's been the giver. He's the gift. He's the giver. All good things has come from him. Come from above. Don't miss it, he's saying. Don't come to church, cross your arms like, what good is it? Don't sit up in here like you've earned this blessing. Don't sit up in his presence like you've earned your life. Don't sit up in this place with your jaws clamped shut and not offer him praise for all the good he's blessed your life with. Don't sit up in this place like he ain't done nothing for you. Don't sit up in this place like you're entitled, like that's your car out there. I sweated for it. Don't sit up in this place and hold back on God. Hey, when you're full, when you're full, that's what we was getting from the little leper that ran back. He was feeling it. I'm feeling full. And he ran. Because thankfulness makes us different. It makes a difference, but it makes us different. And that's what I see in this story. And I'm gonna finish now. I'm gonna finish. That's what I see in this story. When I read this story and I watch this story back in Luke 17, all of them. There was one thing that made him distinct and made him different. Because all 10 of them had a need. This house is full of people that's got needs this morning. Everybody in this place probably got some kind of need. Some people is in desperate need this morning. Desperate. And everybody's got that. And then everybody is like that. That don't make us anybody any different. I know some people think, oh, I've got this need. That makes me different. Things is really going bad in my life. That makes me different. No, I don't make you different. That makes you just like the rest of us. Some of us just ain't said nothing. We all got needs. We all are desperate. We all are dealing with things. We all hurt. We all are in some sense these lepers. Some sense. And this here don't make you any different. They all believed, evidently. The whole bunch, the whole 10 believed. They had enough belief or enough faith to stand across the road or across the field, wherever they's at, and cry out. They all believed enough to say, Master Jesus, have mercy. That's belief. I was going to tell you something. As great as belief is, it don't make us different. I'd say everybody in this church had some degree of belief or you wouldn't have traveled on your gas to get here. You had a belief. But that don't make us different. That don't make anybody any different. And it's no distinction in that. There's some degree of faith in every house. They all called on Jesus. I've learned this in a time of need. Everybody prays. I have folk. I've heard them cuss God, and then the trouble come, and they be wanting to pray. I've learned trouble makes folk call on Jesus. That don't make us different. When we are in our hardship, we are in our pain, we are in our struggle, we call on you. Ain't you glad we can? Ain't you glad that we can call on him like he did? Have mercy. Ain't you glad that he's the king of mercy? Amen. But that don't make us no different. You know, we all know how to pray. We all do. I just tell you this. I'm going to tell you. There's more that pray to him than ever praise him. I'll tell you that right now. There's more that believe than ever praise. There's more that come than ever praise him. But that don't make us any different. Amen. I like this part of the story. He told him, he said, go show yourself, remember, to the priest. And they all heard the word. They heard the instruction of the word. That's what you come for today, to hear the instruction of the word. They all heard it. But they even took it further. My God, they all obeyed. Every one of them, all 10 of them. Sometimes we think being obedient, well, that's my ticket. And it's a great thing. I'm not lessening it because they had to go a certain distance, but they all did that. They all had a certain obedience, a certain degree. And they began to walk. They all headed that way. All of y'all this morning, just because you're here, you kind of headed that way. Amen. But that didn't make them any different. That didn't change anything. It didn't make any distinction, really. Think about it. What about this? They all got blessed. They all got touched. Every last one of them was touched. Healed. My God, healed from leprosy. All of them. That didn't make the distinction. That didn't make the difference either, for they were all. But the only thing in this story that has any distinction at all was the one. Just the one. In the midst of all that, there was just one that turned back when he saw. He was thankful. His heart was full of gratitude, full of charis. I didn't even try to say it again. T-O. Full of gratitude. So thankful. So thankful. And you know what? It made him different. And because of that, it made him different. And it made a difference then in his life. Because he come back. And it was in him coming back. It was faith to come back that he got blessed with wholeness. He got blessed beyond the 10, beyond them. And here's where I want to wind this up. It was, what was the difference in the faith? Because Jesus is the one that said it. He said, it's your faith. It wasn't just the verbal, you know, like your mama makes you do. Mama makes you say thank you. Well, they used to. Say you're thankful. Say you thank you. And then, you know, thank you. You piece of junk. Thank you. Y'all ever make your kids say thank you? And sometimes you're like, man, you need a redo on that. I'm not buying it. You need to persuade me more. But it was out of his heart. It was because of faith, Jesus said. Your faith has made you whole. Think about that a minute. That was the difference in him. It was the faith that had him was able to break out of the crowd. It takes that to be truly thankful. To break out, one out of 10, one out of the crowd. To push out and say, you know what? I'm not going on to what's next. I'm not going on to the next accomplishment or the excitement. I guess. And they were probably the other 9 was just excited and they just took off running and they went home and they went to their families and they went to wherever. But this one said had faith to see Christ for who he was, what he'd done, and the faith to break away from what's next. Don't be trying to go to what's next. Do you appreciate what he's already done? My Lord. It's kind of like in this season where they keep wanting to push us beyond. You know, even before Halloween got here, they was wanting to push us beyond Thanksgiving and on into Christmas and whatever. No, no, no. We need to slow down. Slow down. I know my family, they had all the Black Friday papers out on Thursday and even Bug, he was setting up. He was looking at stuff. I will say this. He was picking out stuff for Gray Bear, too. He'd pick out Gray Bear, Bugs. Bugs. Gray Bear. And I thought about it. Think about it. What he was doing. He's already moving on. circling what's next. Circling what's next before he's ever thankful for what we got now. We need us a catalog or a book of what we got now so we can go through it and begin to circle the things that we're thankful for, what we already got. I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for her and for him, and I'm thankful for this. And not pushing on to what's next. That's what this man had. He had faith enough to realize and to break out and to move away. And it was immediate. He didn't wait. He didn't put it off. Man, it was now. He ran back. He didn't put it off. Because that's how we are. If we put it off, we will never be thankful. But he pushed and he ran back. And it was radical. It was intense. It was with this loud voice, the Bible says. He came back with a loud voice. Thankful. And it was humble. And he fell at the feet of Jesus. On his face. See, all it takes faith, don't it? I can see why it was only one out of the crowd. Because, I mean, that takes faith to break out of such a crowd and in a crowd. And be humble. Fall on his face. And then somewhere along the way, all this turns to just true worship. It's no longer just thankfulness. That's the heart. That's what I want you to see. It's no longer just thankfulness. No, it turns to true worship because he begins to glorify God. Thankfulness transforms and begins to worship. And it's with this loud voice now, he's now glorifying God for what he's done in his life. And it turns to worship. And it's pure now. I can tell this because Jesus even asked him this. Jesus tests him. It's a good test. Because Jesus asked him, you can tell if it's true thankfulness, if it's turned to worship or not. Because Jesus says, where's the nine? And you can tell if it ain't real worship, if it ain't real thankfulness, he would have bashed the other nine. He said, them scum suckers are down Walmart. Only me. They're all at the lake fishing. They're all laying in bed this morning. Only I. But he didn't say nothing. He was just silent. Boy, that was hard there, wasn't it? He was just silent. And that's how I know it's true thankfulness. It's true thankfulness. He was just silent. And it's that scripture that comes to my mind out of James 3. If you've really been blessed, if you're really thankful, James 3, out of the same mouth will not proceed blessing and cursing. When it's true blessing, you're not going to revile others. Why? You got your eyes set in faith on Christ, the Savior, who's blessed your life. And you sure ain't going to throw off on other people because, man, you're just thankful. When you're thankful, it's hard to point your finger at other people and say, them scum suckers. It always bothers me in church or around church folk, and I've had it, when we get that negative feel. Well, I guess they all just laid out. Come on. No, we need to be, just don't say a word and just be thankful. That's how you know it was true. I got to close. And Paul, you can even come on just so everybody will know I'm closing. But I want to read this scripture here, Psalms 107. There's a couple verses here, 107 verse 1 and 2. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Here's what I want. Are you full? Are you full? Has God blessed you? We should say so. We should. We should say so. When I hear good preaching, I'm not trying to say that I'm having good preaching here, but when I hear good preaching, you know what I do? When I get full, I say so. I say, yeah, baby, preach that thing. Woo! Because it's good. And it fills me. It fills me. When I come here, I bring my tithes and offering. You know why? Because I'm full and I give thanks. Same with praise or whatever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And there's like four places, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. It says this very same thing. Go to verse 8. It's the very same thing. See, the psalmist knew we struggled with it. Oh, that men would praise or thank the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works towards the children of men. Some of us knew we struggle. Some of us, he said, I wish that man would praise him. I wish he would give him glory. I wish he would say so. I wish he would recognize the grace and the gift of grace and the gladness that's in his heart and the fullness that he feels because of all I've blessed him with, because of the family, because of the loved ones, because of the wealth or the prosperity or just the wealth of one's soul. I wish that man would see it and just say so. I wish he would be thankful. I wish he would bless the Lord. I wish he would say it. Hey, stop circling what's next and say so. You might be the one out of the 10. One out of your family. One out of your job. One out of your neighborhood. But I hope it's 10 out of 10 up in this church. I hope all 10 are here this morning to say so. I hope all 10 are here this morning to stop chasing all the created things and just stop for a minute this morning and just say so to the Creator. By all means this morning, if you're desperate, cry out. I'm not telling you not to. If you're here this morning and you're desperate and you need something like these 10 lepers do, stand if you're even afar off and cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me. By all means, do that. Please. Please, and believe. And believe, and go in the instruction that he gives you. But if you're full, God's blessed you. Whoa, shout out my heart. God's blessed you. If you're here full this morning, your life's full. You are to get up on your feet this morning and say so. Say so. Say so.